Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a very interesting hymn, isn't it? But ultimately, that glory is to give praise to God. We do not worship Mary, but we acknowledge that she was a very special lady whom God chose as a servant to bear the Messiah. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today, this special text, the text of the Annunciation. So, have you ever experienced an unexpected guest at the door? You're doing your thing, you're going about your business, maybe you're doing dishes, you're working on a project, you got your music on, you're kind of dancing around maybe, and then all of a sudden you get a knock on the door and someone that you were not expecting comes to the door and you say, whoa, I wonder what they have for me today. I wonder what kind of news they have. You know, you'd like it to be someone like the people that show up with the sweepstakes. You see it on TV. There's a knock on the door, and from their camera angle, there's this group of people with the cameras and this giant check. I mean, this huge check, which, you know, hauling it around is quite interesting, but it says 50,000 on it. I'm totally cool if they come to the door with a $50,000 check. And, you know, when you have someone unexpected who brings amazing news that's life-changing, that's a pretty big deal. And that's what we have in our text today. Mary has an unexpected guest who comes and brings some life-changing news, not only for her, but for hundreds, no, thousands, no, millions of people, the message of whom she was to bear. So we take a look at that text, and from this text, we have Luke chapter 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, a little context, when it says the sixth month, it's referring to Elizabeth's pregnancy. If you look earlier in Luke chapter 1, you'll see that Elizabeth was now pregnant, and she and her husband were not able to have a child before. But the Lord appeared to Zechariah through an angel, and in that angel, the message was that your wife, who is barren, will have a child, even in her old age. And this was to be who? John the Baptist, who was then to prepare the way. And during Advent, we hear about the preparing of Christ. And now we have this angel that appears to Mary with a special announcement. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the picture that I showed to the children at the children's message. It's a fabulous work of art from about the 1400s, and I want to describe it a little bit for you. So, this painting that I showed them was a painting, and it's called The Annunciation, and it's by a man whose name is Fra Angelico. I think it's Italian. Fra Angelico, an Italian artist, and this painting was created in the 1400s. And this painting, called The Annunciation, in the very center, has this amazing angel. It's a very beautiful-looking angel with huge wings, just huge wings, and dressed very elaborately in the center. And then to the right of the painting is Mary, and she's sitting there, and she has this blue outfit on, and her hands are kind of like this as she's hearing the message of the angel. And that's where she hears the words of the angel who says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, Mary received a couple of surprises in that particular message. Mary's a small town girl. She's from Nazareth, and from what we gather, Nazareth was only about a population of 200 or so. Small town girl, and she's very likely a young woman. We don't know how old Mary was, but it's possible she was 14, 15, 16, which people would get married younger at that point, but she's a young woman, a virgin, and she's looking forward to be married to her future husband, Joseph, but in the meantime, she gets this message from this angel. And what a surprise. It's one thing when you get a knock on the door and it's the UPS guy that you forgot was going to come and bring the package. It's another thing when you got someone who's trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner. It's a whole nother thing when you got an angel show up. If Mary knew anything about the Old Testament, which I believe she did, she would have known that angels are imposing and scary. And now she gets to see one herself. Now, I'm going to talk about the angels a little bit tonight when we talk about the shepherds, but it made me think about this angel up here. It's really cute, really pretty. But the angels that we see depicted in the Old Testament are scary. You look at some of the visions that Isaiah has about the angels, and they're pretty amazing. And then we hear about the story of the angel that destroys an entire army. This army is encamped around God's people, and all of a sudden an angel comes and boom, wipes out a whole group of people. Angels are scary, and now Mary has an angel right in front of her. And you can imagine the surprise and the shock that she's experiencing. Well, that's surprise number one, but she has a couple more surprises too, because the angel continues and has a message that might have been a little bit surprising, a little bit shocking. Listen to this. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Now the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." I think there's a reason why he said that. "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him his name Jesus." What? Now, if Mary was a young woman looking forward to be married, she might have thought about what it would be like to be pregnant, looking forward to being a mother. But then there's this angel that says, "Yeah, you're going to be pregnant." And she's thinking, well, is that now, later, when? You know, all these questions that start running through her mind. And you know what happens when you receive a message that catches you off guard? Have you ever had that where your heart kind of leaps a little bit? And all of a sudden you go, wait, what did I just hear? Is this for real? Did I hear you correctly? She's going to be pregnant. And then the angel already gives her the name of the child. I mean, I guess that saves her time so she doesn't have to look through baby books. But all of a sudden, the angel says, "Your kid's going to be named Jesus." I think that would have been quite a shock and quite a surprise for her. But what the angel said is significant in a huge, huge way. But what I want to do first is direct your attention to another part of the painting that I told you about. So, we have the angel in the center of the painting with Mary to the right receiving this message of Scripture, and she's been told that she's going to be pregnant and her child's going to be named Jesus. Well, in the left portion of the painting, there is an image of Adam and Eve in the garden. It's a throwback to earlier history. Adam and Eve are there in the garden, and they are being ushered out of the garden. There's an angel behind them, and the angel is basically saying, "Move along, move along. You need to get out of the garden." And Adam and Eve are covered in those skins, which were killed on their behalf to cover them, and they were ushered out looking forlorn, looking guilty, looking saddened. And so it's an interesting thing that the artist did, juxtaposing Adam and Eve leaving the garden with the message then by an angel to Mary about her child who was to be named Jesus. What does the name Jesus mean? Do you remember? That's Emmanuel. It's a good one. Jesus. I asked this to the adult information class, and sometimes we hear are these words and we forget. Jesus Christ, that's what we call our Lord. Jesus and Christ, that's not the first and last names of the Lord, but they're both titles. Christ means Messiah, anointed one. Jesus, though, means he saves. Yeshua would be the Hebrew. Yeshua or Joshua, he saves. And so I think it was neat how the artist put Adam and Eve, who were ushered out because of their disobedience to God. They were in perfect, wonderful fellowship with God, but because of their sin, they were ushered out away from this. But now comes a prophecy of one who is to be Jesus. They received a prophecy of a Savior. There was a prophecy given of a Savior back in Genesis chapter 3. God is speaking to the serpent, the foe, the enemy, and God says these words from Genesis 3. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Basically, way back in Genesis, Adam and Eve were given this prophecy of a Savior. And now, by a woman, God is going to use Mary to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of Jesus, the one who saves from sin. And what a privilege for Mary to be used by God in such a way, to be the mother of Jesus, the one who saves. This promise was not only for Adam and Eve, the promise of a Savior, but this promise was also for you and for me, for all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, for that is everyone. But God is faithful in keeping his promises, and now Mary is right there in the midst of this. Pretty amazing. So surprise number one, she gets visited by an angel. Surprise number two, she's going to be pregnant, and she already has the name of the child. Surprise number three, though, is that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. That's where we get that word Christ. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word for Messiah, basically. Mashiach, Messiah. So Mary is told in Luke chapter 1:32 about this Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. David was given a prophecy that through his lineage, through his line, that his kingdom would reign forever. And we know this to be then the coming Messiah. People had been waiting for the Messiah for centuries, hoping that the Messiah would come. And I can't imagine what it's like for Mary to be standing there receiving these words that she, from her womb, will come this Messiah, the promised one to David. But yet, that's what God chose to do. And what an amazing privilege it was for Mary that this child would be great, that he would be the Messiah. In 2 Samuel, this is the prophecy that the Lord gave to David. The Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, this was talking about Solomon, who was going to come, but then after that would come the Messiah, whose reign would be forever and ever. And when I thought about this, I couldn't help but think about Handel's Messiah. How many of you heard of Handel's Messiah this Christmas? Yeah, it's wonderful. I love the piece. I've been privileged to sing it a number of times now. And it's in the Hallelujah chorus, where it has those words, "And he shall reign forever and ever." And that's Jesus, your Messiah. You know, all these kingdoms, all these nations that we hear about, and they're battling it out. They're having wars of words on Twitter with each other, and all this posturing and such. But all the kingdoms of the world, they're going to pass away. It's all going to pass away, but you know what won't pass away? The reign of Jesus Christ. The reign of your Savior Jesus, who not only died for you, but rose, defeating sin, death, and the power of the devil, but he's alive, and he's still alive. So you have an almighty, awesome, risen Savior who will come back. That's why in Advent we look forward to the coming of Christ, not only in his birth as a child, but also he will come back and will make all things right. And he is reigning right now, and he's going to come, and there's going to be peace and everything else that we would want. Amazing stuff to look forward to. So what we celebrate in this Christmas season, where we're right there on the cusp of Christmas, is this amazing miracle that God would bring his son to you and to me. Because Mary is wondering about this mystery, that how could this be that she would be giving birth not only to the Messiah, but she's also realizing that she's a virgin. But the angel says these words to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." What I'm pointing out to you is this. God is the one who comes to you. So often people try to strive their way to God. They try to somehow earn their favor with God. And they try to climb the ladder up to God. But that doesn't work. because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God is the one who needs to come to us, and he did so. In the painting, going back to the painting, in the upper left-hand corner of the painting is a hand. It's a hand coming from heaven, and there is this beam of light coming from the corner of the painting with this hand, and the beam of light comes down towards Mary, and along the pathway of the beam of light is a dove. And I thought this was an incredible rendition by the artist, showing the Holy Spirit being sent from the hand of God the Father, going towards Mary, and in the mysterious way, she would then be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, overshadowing her. And from God to her comes this, and then Jesus. And so it is from God to you that you have this gift here at Christmas time. Amazing. And what is significant is that word that was mentioned earlier by one of our people, is that word Emmanuel. Because as it says in Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In the painting, on Mary's lap is a book. And in some renditions, artists would do this numerous times. They would have a book on Mary's lap. And some said that the book that Mary had on her lap was scriptures, and that it was open to the page from Isaiah chapter 7:14. Again, this is just an artist's rendition. Kind of cool, though, where she was reading that prophecy in the painting of the virgin that would conceive and bear a son whose name is Emmanuel. And now, since we got to the name Emmanuel, what does the name Emmanuel mean? God with us. That's the essence of Christmas. God with us in the person of Jesus Christ. And so as we, this evening, celebrate again and continue to celebrate, because it's not just for Christmas time, but we celebrate the gift of God to you and to me, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, who is risen, who is reigning, and who is coming again. So the Lord's blessings to you on your Christmas season, as now Advent closes, and we now celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, for you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.